Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you to episode number 250. Can you believe it? We're one quarter away to 1,000 episodes. I'm so glad you guys have been a part of this journey because, seriously, I would not have kept doing this. Even though I love teaching, I would not have kept doing this if it weren't knowing that this was going to create great value for you. And so I'm excited to be a part of this show because this show is about creating freedom for you. Cash flow, freedom, prosperity right now, not 30, 40,000 years from now, but right now. And I'm excited to share this episode because I have been thinking about this for a while. I'm not even going to talk about going to visit my website because we'll talk about that later. You can go visit my website if you want, moneyripples.com. It's great. But I really wanted to find a great topic for this show. And it finally came up, when I work with my clients, I work like a financial advisor, right? But the difference is that when financial advisors teach you, they're telling you how to, sacrifice and suffer and spend nothing and save everything and just sock it away for 30, 40 years. And then hopefully when you hit that magic age of 65, if you're lucky, you might even have some retirement. And so I really started thinking about that. It's like, okay, well, what can we do to create a comparison? And I've done this before, right? And I've dealt with general numbers, but I wanted to use real situations, real scenarios. So seriously, I've spent the last hour to hour and a half crunching numbers, and this is something that's, for me, I enjoy crunching numbers to a degree, but I really don't. Because I know in my mind, there's so many variables, so many things could happen. It could be better, it could be worse. In a lot of cases, it could actually be better than what you predict. It really can. But you never know. Life can throw curves. They talk about this age of 65. Well, what if you don't live to age 65? What if you don't make it that far? What do you have to show for your life? What kind of real quality of life do you have? And so, I was thinking about this whole concept of the family bank. I've had a lot of people ask me about this lately because they know there's people that I've worked with personally that we've taught this family bank concept. And so the family bank concept is essentially this, is that, when you look at the wealthy families of America, what they really have done is that they don't think like everybody else. They don't think like the average consumer where they just sock money away into mutual funds, which they, by the way, think is a joke. Mutual funds are the poor and middle class version of a cheap imitation. It's like the Malto meal of financial advising, right? It's not even like the real cereal, right? It's like the cheap stuff. It's not even Malto meal. It's great value from Walmart, okay? And you get this cheap crap that you're lucky if you make 6 or 7% per year, and that's before you pay taxes, right? And that's like averaging over 30 years. And that's kind of what's typically been done. But the wealthy, they don't do this. They know that they're thinking beyond just their own life. They're not only just trying to create wealth for themselves now, but they want that wealth to continue for generation to generation. And by the way, I'm of the belief that I think my kids need it to earn their keep. I don't want to just dump money on them. It's something that they have to earn. And it really requires a couple things. Is one, you got to create a great amount of wealth first. That should be your first thing, is take care of yourselves first. Secondly is, how do we make sure that that passes on from generation to generation and the money doesn't get lost? And a big, some key tools to use here is, first off, is an estate plan, living trusts. By the way, do you know that you can use trust to kind of, really, you got to be flexible to some level, but you can actually say, listen, if you're going to borrow money from our estate, by the way, one of the biggest ways to finance your estate is having assets and using life insurance as a way to help finance, to really fund it, especially if you die before you have any assets. Really, the life insurance is key. It's key regardless, right? And we've talked about on the show about how to like make money, double dip on your investment returns on previous episodes in the last few months. But even just looking from a death benefit standpoint, the fact that it's able to fund your trust and leave something for your children, and do it in a way where they don't just get money. It's not just like you create trust fund babies, right? Is that we really want to create education. We want to leave more. We want to leave a legacy for our family, right? And the way to do that is that they got to be educated first. And so I just talked to a couple. They're in their early 60s just a few hours ago. And they were asking, like, hey, how do we make this family bank concept work for us? You know, and we had to get creative with some of the life insurance strategies to help do that. And we're using the life insurance to actually go and invest right now. It's not about, hey, after we die, then there'll be money for our family. It's like, no, let's use that life insurance money today. You know, utilize that to create a massive amount of wealth. And they're doing things like real estate investing and things like that. They're a dentist, you know, and they're looking to do that kind of stuff. It's like, great, we're going to create money and cash flow from that as well, utilizing life insurance. But I added, I was like, but the family bank requires much more. It's got to be educational. You got to make sure you're not just leaving money to just kids that are spoiled rotten, right? And by the way, if they're spoiled rotten, we, as parents, and I have 8 kids, you know, as parents, we have a lot of that to blame. And so our job as parents is to teach and educate our children really what money is. And you cannot teach them the same old Dave Ramsey kind of stuff, you know, the same old stuff you've heard taught for decades, because it has not helped people. Granted, there are some good stuff. For example, Dave Ramsey teaches about living on a budget. I think that's great. You know, now I don't believe in the scarcity mentality that kind of comes with it, that a lot of people will adopt with it. But I do think it's good to be good, responsible stewards of that money. And so I told him, it's like, you got to read books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and get your kids, even your living kids, adult children, and even their grandchildren, get them to start reading books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or as kids, you know, maybe get them to play the cash flow game. Now, there's another game I love called the Abundance Game that I think is even better, and I play with my clients when they come out to my house, you know. But there's much more, you know, like, it's, I tell them, hey, my podcast, this, I mean, now this episode number 250, there's plenty of education that if they were to learn and adopt this philosophy and even the strategies that go with it, they would never think about money again, at least the same way. I'm not saying you'd never think about money again, but you'll never think about money the same way ever again. And you can be a much wiser steward of those resources, see what's possible, actually not lose money, but gain money and keep that family legacy growing. So instead of just blowing all your money by the second, third, or fourth generation, it can continue for generations to come and they keep adding to it. How would that be, huh? That they contribute to it, not just suck off of it. And that's really what the family bank concept is about. It requires using life insurance, of course, with the help of that estate planning, as well as the estate plan with wills and trusts and things like that. But it's got to be more. And so I know there's people out there to teach family bank. I mean, you can Google it. You'll see different, you know, different people, but they're all talking about using life insurance. Here's the thing is that you guys already know, if you've listened to some of these episodes, I don't look at life insurance the same. And I thought, it's like, here's a good concept is, you know, most people just dump money into their life insurance and they'll have money eventually. But what if that money could be dumped in and then pull right back out to invest and create some velocity? What could that create? And so I took a real situation. I took a guy that actually called me up about life insurance stuff. And we looked at the situation, and I took his situation. I took it a step further. I said, what if we did turnkey real estate investing? You know, we've had people on here that we've talked about that, like RP Capital in previous episodes, right? So I used the same exact numbers that we got from a game plan on real properties, you know, single family homes, duplexes, fourplexes, things like that. And so I'll give you a scenario. This is a 32-year-old guy, actually turning 33 soon. 33 does come after 32, believe it or not. I almost said 34. So 32 turning 33. I said, all right, what would it look like? Let's compare. Like, if he actually took the money he had, he has about, you know, $250,000, right? About $250,000 in cash, plus saving about $36,000 a year. And that's $3,000 a month. Now, I know for anybody in their 30s, that's a lot of money. That's more than what most people in their 30s will be able to do. But I want you to see this because, yeah, this is a above average example, but the example is still the same. The principle is still the same, no matter you're saving $36,000 a year or $36,000 over several years, right? It's the same principle. But I wanted to use real numbers for you guys, so you got something that's real here. And so, you know, we're going to call this guy Bill, right? We're going to have two different guys. We're going to have this guy, you know, Bill, and then his twin brother, Bob. And we're going to say these guys are the same exact age and everything, same scenario. Age 65, then we'll even look at age 80, like when they're about ready to say, hey, I'm getting to the, towards the end of my life, my twilight years. What could possibly happen if I died at 80? What would I be leaving behind in that family legacy, right? Now, everybody will tell you, buy term, invest the difference. They'll say, just buy the term insurance and then go invest the difference. So by the time you hit 80, you don't even have insurance. They'll say you're self-insured, right? And that's the typical thing always taught. This, by the way, is bull crap. This is not what wealthy people do. Wealthy people do not self-insure. That's exactly what life insurance companies want you to do, however. Why? Because they want you to die after you cancel your insurance. They don't want to pay out. They want to take all your premiums while you're alive and then not pay out. So the whole buy term, invest the difference, and then, you know, cancel your term insurance after you're 65 or whatever, that was life insurance companies that created that. In fact, I can even pinpoint it. I won't say the company, but you can pinpoint it to an exact company that started that whole philosophy that actually moved people away from whole life towards term insurance in the late 70s and early 80s. It was one company that taught that, made it popular, and other companies started teaching it too, because the life insurance company said, this is brilliant. This is brilliant marketing. If we can get people to die after they've canceled the insurance, we make pure profit. By the way, guess what that profit gets paid to? Whole life insurance holders. Those that have whole life, those are the ones that get paid the dividends from people dying after they cancel their policies, and especially those term insurance premiums. Most of them never pay out, and so you're great. So anyways, I don't want to digress too much, but just so you know, like, that philosophy is kind of what happens. So, like I said, Bill and Bob, Billy Bob, right? So Bob is the one that says, I'm going to take the traditional route, buy a term, invest the difference. We're not even going to talk about term insurance costs. That would actually make these numbers worse for him. But I'm not even going to make this better in Bob's favor. That Bob's going to invest in mutual funds, right? He's going to make net, after fees, 7% a year. Now, this is pretty good, because considering that the market, the S&P 500, has averaged about 7.5% for the last 30 years, that's pretty dang good. And so 7%, I figured that would be pretty reasonable. I can't guarantee that, of course, because the markets could change over the next 30 years, right? But really, if you're 32, almost 33, you got about 32 more years before you're 65. So I ran the numbers. I said, all right, you got 247,000. This guy actually had, you know, this scenario here, this guy has 247,000 in savings. He'd done a very good job as a dentist saving up this money. He's got 36,000 a year he's putting away. Now, by the way, whether you are, you know, 32, almost 33 like this guy, or you're 40 and you're in this scenario, which there are, I know plenty of 40-year-olds that are like this in this kind of scenario, doesn't matter, same concept, right? So like I said, you know, you've got 32 years. You know, if you're 33, you're going to be 65, that's 32 years. So what does that look like? 32 years later, that money, that 247,000 plus adding 36,000 a year at 7%, you will have about $3.77 million. So about $3.75 million. You're almost to the $4 million. Hey, delay your retirement just a few more years, right? Delay that gratification just a little bit longer. You might hit that $4 million mark. Now, that sounds like a decent amount of money, and it is. That's great. Now, what does that equate to cash flow? Now, financial advisors will say, and there's different ones out there, they used to say 4% a year is all you pull out. Now it's even more conservative, like 2 or 3%. So I'm going to go on the high end of 3%. Well, 3% of $3.77 million means you live on $113,000 a year. Okay, not bad. Now, 32 years, will $113,000 be much? Probably not. You're probably looking that feeling like lower middle class at that point, by the way, just so you know. Like, there will be people that are working like blue collar type jobs making $113,000 a year in 32 years. You know, we can see what's that. That's going to make that about 2050. So 2050, let's just see what happens. I could be wrong, but $113,000 a year, if you were listening to this in the year 2050, we'll see what happens and see if that's actually like really, you know, kind of broke for cash flow. But $113,000 a year. Oh, I forgot to mention, you haven't paid taxes on that money because you've been saving it into your IRA or your 401k. Well, really, your 401k is really hard to stuff in that much money. So we'll say the IRA, right? You're putting that into your IRA. You know, maybe you're even self-employed doing this. So you're doing that minus out the taxes. You got a lot less. You got about probably, depending on the tax rates, you might only have about, you know, three quarters of that. You know, so you might even be left with like $75,000-$80,000 a year to live on. Now, that is the traditional financial advisor. And by the way, this is why financial advisors have to fluff numbers. They make inflation less, you know. They try to figure out, you know, how to make it look better or just not even talk about inflation at all because, hey, you know, $113,000 a year sounds great minus taxes. You know, they'll kind of say that under their breath, right? But, hey, you never know. Taxes might be great by that time. Yeah, right. We'll probably be broke by 2050 as a country, right? Again, you can listen to this in 2050 and find out. Now, what if we did something different? What if we did like what I was proposing to this older couple just earlier today? What if we created this whole family bank strategy mixed in with alternative investments and things like that? And so starting with that $247,000, you put some down payment on some properties. You know, you buy some duplexes and a fourplex and, you know, and a few single family homes. You go and you sell those off after 7 years. And after 10 years, here's what's cool. After 10 years, even if you factor in like vacancy rates and things like that, you'd have over $140,000 a year, about $142,000 a year of cash flow. Now, by the way, I just said that. Yes. And this is, by the way, adding $36,000 a year on the side. Or actually, no, this is actually together with this. This is actually adding the $36,000 a year to add it up, you know, and help boost up your thing here. By the way, the $36,000, we're just funneling through the life insurance anyways, just so you know, and then pulling it right back out. So anyways, that's kind of where it's going. That $36,000 is going in. You've got the $247,000 working in the properties. You sell off some of those properties in about year 5 through 7. And then by year 9, even going almost year 10, that cash flow is about $142,000 a year. Oh, by the way, typically that the tax rate on those is less than what you would pay on a normal mutual fund. Because with a mutual fund IRA money, you get taxes at ordinary income tax, where it's different with real estate. You get some tax advantages there, especially with depreciation and everything else. So guess what? Already by year 10, you're already making more than the person that waited 32 years. And this is by year 9 or 10, right? Now, here's the other thing too, is that we've got some of that money saving up. Now, those properties. Now, I'm just going to pretend that for the next 20 years, you're now just paying off these properties. We're not buying any more properties. There's 10 properties total here that we have in this equation. 10 different turnkey, whether they're duplexes, fourplexes, a little bit of single family, but mostly duplexes and fourplexes by this point. And now I just figured like, hey, rent's raising every year, by the way. So I'm going from like basically year 10 on that rents are raising and, you know, at about 3%. It's averaging 2 to 5% depending on part of the country. I mean, right now, if you're in Dallas, you're like seeing rents go up by way more than that. But just again, going for a nice, easy average, because people got to pay for property taxes, so they're going to raise rent just to even for the increase of property taxes and things like that. So 3% a year of rent. Here's what happens. Age 65. Here it is. You've got $643,000 a year with these paid off properties, because after 30 years, the properties are paid off. Your renters have been paying down your property, right? You're still making the cash flow. The $142,000 a year, by the way, was cash flow you're making after paying all your expenses. And by the way, it's actually over $160,000 a year, but we took off that $20,000 a year just in case there's like vacancies, in case people are moving in or out, you gotta evict people and things like that. So conservatively, we're looking at $142,000 after 10 years, but after paying off those properties, now you have no mortgage on this. We're not even talking about leveraging anything, right? I think you could do better than this if you leverage. But even if we don't leverage, just pay off, we just keep these 10 properties, these 10 multi-unit properties, and the cash flow is $643,000 a year by age 65. Now you're kicking butt, right? Because now you're about over five times what you would have done with the mutual fund at age 65. By the way, because the mutual fund, you know, with your IRA or whatever, right? I mean, at 65, you really can't keep it growing because you got to keep consuming. The likelihood is you're going to pull out more than $113,000 a year to keep your lifestyle going, even just a basic lifestyle. And so it's very possible your balance could be going down and you'll be losing the cash flow. You might even run out of money before you're dead, depending on how long you live. But here we have $643,000 and it's going up with inflation because you've got to keep rent going up with inflation, right? And so what's happening is $643,000 a year, just so you know, that $643,000 plus now we got some extra cash too, because some of that money we've been saving, you know, we had with the life insurance, we can go and leverage. You know, and so some of that money now, we got an extra, it just added all up, had $4.664 million because now we invest it at 10%, right? Even to something like AHP, like we had them on the show recently, something like that. So we got $4.664 million. Well, guess what? That can equate, using the same equation we just did, that could, you know, buy outright properties and cash flow by another $360,000 a year. So $360,000 a year. Because, of course, we're taking the cash flow we're getting from these properties and we're reinvesting it. And that's where this is really coming from. You got all this money reinvested. You know, when you've been cash flowing anywhere from $142,000 all the way up to eventually $643,000 at some point, right? You know, obviously you're pocketing a lot of money. We got to invest it somewhere. So that $4.664 million. So we didn't do anything. We just pocketed all those that money. We just basically put it at 0%. I didn't want to calculate anything because it was too much for me, my brain, to keep calculating numbers. And so it was like 0%. You held it in cash. You didn't do anything with it. You find that age 65 said, I'm going to invest, you know, the money I was making from the cash flow on these rental properties. It totaled to be $4.664 million as the rents kept increasing 3% a year. That created another $360,000 a year. I just kind of rounded down. So you know, $360,000 a year plus $643,000 a year is $1,003,000 per year at age 65. $1,003,000. So we'll just say $1 million bucks. $1 million bucks versus $113,000 a year. That's freaking, what is that? Pretty much nine times more than a mutual fund where you may or may not get that return. And you're getting taxed extra on that. So we're getting $1 million a year just for the rental real estate. Oh, and we haven't mentioned the $36,000 a year we've been putting away. Well, guess what? We've been taking that back out, investing it into like AHP, for example, right? Making money on that. Well, that money eventually grows, or if you just let it reinvest itself, that money will grow to almost $8 million, $7.965 million. Well, guess what? If you even said, okay, cool, we're just going to start taking cash now at age 65, right? Again, no guarantees, but there's no guarantees on any of these scenarios I'm running, whether you're in the market, in an IRA, or doing this kind of strategy. Well, guess what? 10% of $7.965 million, $796,500. Guess what that total is? You know, already that total, you know, if we're not, that's $1,003,000 plus the 796.5 is pretty much $1.8 million at age 65. $1.8 million a year. Put that in perspective, that's $150,000 a month versus maybe $7,000 a month with your mutual fund. Can anyone say, holy shnikes? Now, I understand none of this is guaranteed, and it sounds too good to be true, because even when I ran the numbers, I'm like, wait, was I being conservative enough? Here's the thing, like, it's possible it may not be that much. What if, maybe like instead of, you cash flowed after 10 years, $142,000, maybe it was $110,000. Do you really think it's not going to beat what a mutual fund does in the market, in the marketplace? Now, granted, this guy has 32 years. For some of you, you have a shorter timeline. But remember, even after 10 years, you have a decent income. That's incredible. I mean, $1.8 million is definitely nothing to joke about. It's freaking amazing. And like you said, you may not even need $1.8 million to live. That could be money that could be reinvested back in your family bank. And we're not even talking about the fact that, by the way, you also have, with the insurance policy, if you're putting that $36,000 a year into it, and you stop at age 65, and actually I stopped at age 55, and then just put in, I think it was roughly about $8,000 a year thereafter, well, guess what? You know, then you stopped at age 65. Well, by age 80, your death benefit would be roughly about $7.8 million. Now, maybe you have some loans leveraged against it because maybe you did leverage it with, you know, investing like an AHP or whatever, right? By the way, I know some of you can earn way better than 10% than like what you get in AHP. You could do a lot more things with this. I just want to give you an easy, simple number, one that's not too unrealistic in this alternative world. We had Sam Denton on earlier where their fund paid, you know, it's a three-year type of commitment, but they pay anywhere from like 10, 12, 15% depending on what kind of fund you do, right? So I know that I'm not talking about crazy numbers here. Now, crazy for the traditional financial advisors that think like you can't do this, and they hate it because they don't get paid on these kind of things because they aren't the typical kind of mutual funds you sell. But it's still incredible. So even if you had net, you know, by the way, you wouldn't be using all your death benefit anyways. You'd still have a couple $1 million of death benefit. Your total estate, by the way, the total assets, by the way, by age 80, if those rents keep increasing, you're at $2 million a year, not to mention the $800,000 a year you're getting from the other money that we had, and not to mention you're reinvesting anything else. Even if you just sat quiet and said, you know what, I'm just going to preserve the capital, keep it safe. Maybe keep in some fixed annuities or indexed annuities. You just keep it safe and try to keep everything as you know, safe as possible, right? Hey, you still got a net worth of well over $10 million. And it didn't cost you that much. It cost you a couple – really, like, I didn't even do the numbers yet, actually. But a total number, it was just – yeah, it was a million – just over a million, like about a million and a quarter. Maybe $1.5 million max. To have over a $10 million net worth. That's incredible, guys. That's the thing that gets me fired up. That is why when I talk about doing the traditional financial advice, this is why I'm an anti-financial advisor, because financial advisors don't want you to do this kind of stuff, and they don't even think it's possible because their minds are so narrowly focused in a little box that the financial industry has taught them that they can't even see this. And many of you have been taught the same old crap for years. And it's so much more powerful. And I'm telling you that in a scenario like this, if someone were 32, 33 years old doing this kind of thing, they could do way better than this. This is just doing stuff that's being very conservative in the sense of something I think is very doable in the current marketplace and even other market times. There's times that rental real estate's done way better in cash flow than this. So I'm not even factoring any of that optimistic stuff in here. Just going off of, hey, the market's slowing down. I'm going off the current market cycle, right? That's the kind of stuff that's just incredible. That is the kind of stuff that gets me fired up, and I hope it gets you fired up too. That is why I'm here. This is why I feel like there's this new fire that's been burning within me for the last several months. I've lived a very comfortable life. I've enjoyed being, you know, really like semi-retired. I mean, I could be retired, but the thing is I get bored, and I love that I can teach you guys something that I hope, this gives you hope. I really do. That's my desire. That gives you hope and gives you eventually gives you a plan. And by the way, if you want help with that plan, let me know. That's what I help clients do. I help them create this kind of game plan. I can't promise I'm going to crunch the numbers like this because it's so dang hard to crunch numbers like this for 30 plus years. You know, 5-10 years, easy. Less things can happen, less variables. It's super simple. But hey, if you want to game plan it for the next even 5-10 plus years to take this to a whole nother level, guys, that's what I do. That's what I'm here for. So again, you can shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com, if you want help with that. If you say, hey, Chris, I want to know what's possible for my situation, even if it's not $250,000 right now. In fact, you might just be starting out. You might just be getting things going, right? And that's great too, because you get the foundation set straight. If you're in your 30s and you're in this place, heck, if you're in your 20s, you're amazing. I wish I was you. You know, I just started learning this stuff right about the time I turned 30, you know, late 20s into 30s, you know. And I even gambled some of it. So I spent my 30s trying to recover from what happened after my late 20s to get to where I am in my 40s now. And even if you're in your 40s and even if you're in your 50s, there is hope, guys. There really is hope. Some of you guys are in a better situation than I even mentioned. Some of you aren't in that situation yet, but you still have hope. And that's the thing. I want to create that freedom, that prosperity, that cash flow, and that ability to create a lifestyle and a life that you choose. We get to be with the people you want, doing what you want. That is what I call is real, true freedom. And that's something you could pass on from generation to generation to generation. You can stop this trend of scarcity that's been passed on to us from our own parents, from all the crappy advice that we've been given, right? Even if your parents have been pretty good overall, that's great. But we can do better. We can all do better, and we can teach our kids to do even better than we did. And that is the kind of legacy I want to leave. That is what I refer to as the family bank, not just buy life insurance and then you put in an estate plan. It's so much more than that. It's doing so much more. Guys, that is the power of what we have to teach here. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate you guys being with me for the last 250 episodes. Here's to 250 or 250,000 episodes more. Hey, this is Chris Miles signing off. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and especially a wonderful and prosperous life for you and your family. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.